We are back, and you folks out there, get your hockey questions ready. My guest is Bud Lynch. I think I inadvertently last hour used Bud as the public relations director of the Pistons. Bud, you're still with the Red Wings, aren't you?
I'm 6 foot one, but I'm still with hockey.
Okay, you're no basketball player. Frustrated though, Bud?
No, I fool around at all sports like everybody else, I think, Ron.
So if you have any questions, we invite you to call us at 353-3030. The first thing I want you to talk about, Bud, is how you got started in sports casting. That's quite a story, and it's a long, long time ago. Why don't you tell the listeners about that?
Well, looking at our engineer, Bud, the two of us went to school years ago.
That was way back.
Well, I don't know what story you're referring to. I suppose we're in
Hamilton.
A little town called Hamilton, Ontario, Ron. Coincidentally, it was a booth about the size of this. We had played the high school city championship. The game was coming up on Armistice Day, the 11th of November, way back when. And the sports director of the station invited the two rival captains and quarterbacks to show up. And
quarterback back then.
All fooled around. And so we were there, and we were sitting in the lobby waiting to be interviewed by Pris LeSueur, one of the great all-time great goalkeepers in the NHL way back. He was a sports director. And oddly enough, they were having an audition for announcers, part-time summer replacement. And jokingly, the other kid from Delta High School, myself and Cathedral High, we decided to take the audition. And not paying attention, we're just killing time. We went on the sports show, were interviewed, had a little chit-chat about the big game coming up. Well, about January the 15th of the next year, both of us got a call to come in and do some spring and summer sports reporting.
And that's when you started?
I got a sampling of it then, and then eventually when I got through school, I decided to take a shot at it.
Everybody knows you as the voice of the Red Wings for a long, long time, Bud, but you go more back than just hockey. You were involved in football, I believe, too, weren't you?
Yes, when I came back from overseas, of course, after World War II, I was in Windsor at the time, and then was doing on the Mutual Network Michigan State games, and then eventually when I came over here, University of Michigan football. Worked with the late Harry Wismer on the Detroit Lions. Froze many a time at Wrigley Field, too. It was always cold over there.
Yes.
And I had radio and TV shows around the community for many, many years, Ron.
And how long were you the voice of the Red Wings on radio and TV?
25 years. The late Jack Adams gave me a shot at it after Ty Tyson and Paul Williams were the ones that talked me to coming over here to produce sports. And Jack Adams gave me a shot at doing hockey because I had worked junior hockey with Jimmy Skinner, by the way, in Windsor, the Windsor Spitfires. In 1950, I started doing television and radio, and then worked with Al Nagler. And 25 years on the mic, home and away.
Do you miss it, Bud?
Yes, I do.
Is there any chance we might see Bud Lynch back on the TV or radio this year?
Oh, we got two young kids working there right now, and after all, my role is public relations, so we broke Bruce Martin in, and he's holding his own, and Sid Abel had to come out of retirement. He's holding his own, so I'm like standing in the wings.
So if anything happened, you could go back on TV and radio then?
My bag's packed.
Okay, if you have any questions of Bud Lynch, we invite you to give us a call, 353-3030. This hour is WXYZ Cash Call. Jackpot total is $794. We'll make a call in a few minutes. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Yeah, Bud Lynch, this is Ron. I wanted to ask you about the televised, Red Wings televised game broadcast.
Yes, Ron?
Okay, why... In the Kalamazoo area, you don't have a station out there in Lansing, Jackson, Kalamazoo area.
Well, we're on cable TV. Marv Muse is the TV coordinator for Red Wing Hockey the last couple of seasons. And the games that originate on the road and are carried on Channel 50 in our market here, they go on cable TV, and I'm surprised that you can't get them in that area if you're phoning that far away. But we get fan mail. The players themselves do, and they get comments to Bobby Crum and Ted Lindsay all the way from the Sioux, Michigan now.
Well, yeah,
where do you live, sir?
Television. I'm talking about the radio broadcast.
Oh, you're talking about radio coverage.
Right.
I'm sorry, I thought you meant television.
No, I'm talking about the radio.
Well, radio coverage is on what they call the power station. They called it that for years. But years ago, there used to be a radio network. But now it's strictly on the one station in town, as you know, WJR.
And another question is, you're speaking of televised... How come the Red Wing Farm Club was on the stations in Kalamazoo, Jackson, Lansing area, but it's not on up here?
Well, see, now that's the way minor hockey, International League hockey, the Kalamazoo Farm Club, the International Hockey League, they very enterprisingly set up their own little network of some AM and FM stations.
This is good.
And that way they publicize it. And several clubs in the International Hockey League do that.
Oh, yes. Thank you for the call.
Okay, right.
Appreciate
Thank
that. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
How you doing, Bud? Ron, this is Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Well, you were talking to the fellow about TV hockey. I got two questions. This will be my first. I've been following the Wings now for about 12 years, okay? Almost 12. And I've noticed the Wings don't televise any home games unless it's playoffs or nothing from the West Coast. How come? Why is this?
Well, basically, it's a time situation, Brian. We did, maybe 10 or 11 years ago, do a couple of games from the West Coast. We did one from Los Angeles in particular, I recall. But in the 40 road games, the schedule is made up for the TV station that we work with, too. And you can't always guarantee that you could televise a game at 11 o'clock at night from the West Coast and be assured of having sponsors and an audience as well. I'm sure the fans are there. There's no doubt about it.
Uh-huh.
And that's why it's carried on radio when it's the West Coast.
Okay.
But on the home games, we are going to have one home game this year because it's a sellout on the 27th of the month. It'll be televised from Olympia.
Montreal's game?
Yes.
I was understanding they were going to televise Toronto game in February, too, but I didn't know.
Well, you're working a little ahead. Now, let's get 78 through first.
Okay. Well, another question is, Ron was talking about, he thought that Ted Lindsay used Gary Harper and Dennis Hexel as scapegoats. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I figured I'd get that question sooner or later. I think we have to look at it very objectively. A general manager and a coach and an owner, the roles they all play.
Uh-huh.
Certainly the general manager's job is to provide and procure the best talent that's available, and then it's up to the coach to utilize the talent and the personnel he has. And I don't like the word scapegoat ever used, and I think it's just one of those unfortunate things that's happened before. It's going to happen in every sport, and it does hurt because they are fine young men. They're fellows that are still in the prime of their life. They're not old, old men. But every sport has a limited longevity.
Yeah, but did you read in the paper today where they thought that Hextall going would have some kind of basis to Reed Larson since they're so close?
Well, I'm sure that the longer no deal is made to have Dennis Hextall play somewhere that Ted Lindsay is trying definitely,
uh-huh.
you're going to hear all kinds of stories. And I'd say, and I'm very obvious about this, read between the lines on some of these things right now.
Okay.
Every reporter is entitled to go and dig a story, and if he thinks he has an angle, you'll have to come up with all the facts eventually.
All right, thanks, Ron.
Thank you for the call. Okay, bye now. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
This is Paul.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
I'd like to ask, Bud, whatever happened to Roland Cloutier?
Roland Cloutier, he came from the farm club, of course, was a red-hot prospect, and when he was brought up to play for the Detroit Red Wings, he had the speed, the goal production, he caught fire for the first three games, five goals, and then, like everything else, when his size and his speed went up against some of the bigger boys in the National Hockey League, it was obvious he needed more minor league experience. He'll be back someday. He's a great competitive young hockey player and tiny.
How young is he?
He is tiny.
Well, he goes under the armpits of a lot of the defensemen.
How young is he?
He's about 21 years of age.
Well, I was really deeply impressed with him.
Well, there's several down in that farm club that you're going to be impressed with as the days go on. This Jorn Skar, we had a look at him for a while, a boy from Norway. He's only 20 years of age, and he's got speed to burn, but he likewise has to get the minor pro experience before he can come up and take a good shot in the National Hockey League.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. You know, when Bud came up, I neglected to say at the outset of the show, he sits down here, starts talking. What does he bring with him? An NHL rule book.
Well, you know why, Ron, because all the years I've known you, long before you became the super, super sports fan, you were always around hockey, around baseball, around basketball, football, and everything else. But you being a credit to go-get-it-ness, you were an umpire. You always carried the rule book in your hip pocket.
Well, I carried it, but not in my hip pocket. I carried it around.
Is it true that some umpires do have the rule book in their
hip? No. It happened. I can tell you a quick story before we take another call. There's only one umpire in the history of baseball that carried his rule book on the field. He said, well, I know I'm right. And the manager said, no, you're not. And he said, well, prove it. Grabbed the book out of his pocket, and he showed it to the manager. This is rule 4F or whatever it was. Showed it. The manager ripped it up in 1,000 different pieces and tossed it away, and they won't let you carry it on the field. That was Emmett Ashford.
Oh, I'm an Emmett.
You remember Emmett?
Sure do.
From a long, long time back. Oh, okay, the weather outlook. Cloudy and windy tonight with a slight chance of rain or snow toward morning. The overnight low about 27. Cloudy, windy, and a little colder tomorrow with scattered snow flurries and a high in the mid-30s. Scattered snow flurries continuing tomorrow night, then partly cloudy and cold on Thursday. Right now it's cloudy and 37 as we're talking on Sports Talk with Bud Lynch for the duration of the show. Throat, I wanted to say. Well, you, of course, remember some incidents with you.
Don't get laryngitis.
Yeah, I knew, that's just what I was thinking, Bud. And the WXYZ cash call jackpot total is $794. I'll be making a call in a few minutes. Stay listening. I could be calling you. I can remember a couple of doozies with you, bud, going on the air with laryngitis.
Never missed a broadcast assignment, though, no. Ron, but I did one game as a whispering baritone out of Philadelphia one night. And Mel Allen, the former great broadcaster, he had all kinds of remedies for his laryngitis in the years that I knew him. And through the doctors, I was allowed to have a little bit of this. And for 2 hours, you didn't talk before you broadcast, and you were good for 2 hours. And I was glad that game didn't go into overtime.
You're in trouble if it does, bud. Okay, let's take some more calls now. WXYZ Sports Talk. This is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Hi, Ron. This is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, first of all, I'd like to know, ask Bud, if whatever happened to Normie Allman?
Norm Allman, of course, left the Red Wing organization, moved into the Toronto picture, had breathing problems, believe it or not. I don't know whether they thought it was the... it was in Toronto, actually, when he first started to complain about the breathing conditions.
He's not the only one. I think Carl Brewer had the breathing problems.
Paul Anderson did, too. Several of the players.
But
Norm Allman's from Western Canada, of course.
He had an area.
And eventually, Normie wanted to go back out west. And then, I guess, his hockey days came to an end. And the last I heard, he was still in the Toronto area.
He played with Edmonton for a year,
yes.
So in the WHA, bud.
Mm-hmm. Hey, buddy, ever consider coming back, stepping in the booth this year, on any broadcast?
Well, I told you just a little while ago, the two young fellows that are there right now, they don't want an old man like me in there.
Like a Danny Don Cosell deal.
Oh, that would be nice, bud.
Maybe at three, and, I thought maybe you might come back, just for, like one telecast or something.
I think there's enough chatter in the booth right now, but I'll be available some night, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, and one more thing. Has the length of the ice gotten shorter?
Somebody describing the length of the ice differently than the way I used to? Is that what you're trying to tell me? 200 by 85?
Yeah, I didn't want to ask that, but I was excited it would go ahead with it.
That brings up a good point. We go to a lot of banquets and have for all the years I've been around here and privileged to be associated in selling hockey, shall I say. And that's one of the fundamental questions was always the length of the sheet of the playing surface. Well, basically, it should be 200 feet long, 85 feet wide.
Some of the rinks were wider, though.
I was told to ask that and told that you would understand. I didn't know,
yes.
But anyway.
Now, the rest of it, I want to finish that, though. So, in the early days of television, when people were watching a game on television and weren't too sure what a hockey arena looked like, we repeated it so many times, it got pretty obnoxious to the listener and the viewer and the dedicated hockey fan. And then we used to also say the size of the puck, an inch thick, 3 inches in diameter. And that used to infuriate some of the fans. They'd say, what do you think about it?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for calling. You can keep going, bud, whatever what you were saying. Go ahead.
I thought that was one of the hockey players for a minute.
They remember you. Okay, 353-3030 is the number. Give us a call, whatever's on your mind as far as hockey goes. We're talking with the what is your title? The publicity director of the Red Wings, bud?
I'm the director of public relations and work in conjunction with Al Coates, who is the director of publicity and promotions.
Okay. Public relations director, Bud Lynch. Give us a call, 353-3030. From WXYZ time, 21 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. We're talking with Bud Lynch, 353-3030 is the number. Let's take another call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Hi, this is Rick.
Come on, Rick.
I was wondering what happened to alternate captains.
The situation in the National Hockey League years ago, you always had to have a designated captain on the team. And every time they have the summer meetings, they make minor rule changes. They don't make too many drastic changes. And they decided that because some clubs didn't approve of having a C, that all the general managers had to get together and agree. So it ended up there was a C and two A's, two alternate captains.
Mm-hmm.
And some club owners, and I say owners, still wouldn't permit the general manager to designate a player as a captain. But as the years have gone on, and right now we're going through the same situation under Coach Bobby Crum and general manager Ted Lindsay, you might find a different C on a different player every night.
Not the different C, just the same C, but just on a different player. You mean.
Well,
maybe a different C in
Diana. Well, Danny Olsovich, the equipment, you have to sign, print the C or sew it on, so it might be a different C. I don't think it's the same C.
Okay.
You put a C on a Hillworth, you can't put the same one on Low Week yet.
Okay, thank you for the call.
Also, I was wondering, in Rudy Vashon's last five games, his goals against average is 2.60. I was wondering if the Red Wings feel that he's finally living up to his potential.
Well, I don't think there was any question about what his potential might be. Rogie has had a rough time getting the season underway. There's no doubt about it, and he's the first to admit it. And I think it's a case of he has played so many games in his career. Each year he's played for the L.A. Kings, shall we say.
Montreal Canadiens.
And Montreal Canadiens in his career, too. He's desirous of playing a lot of hockey, and I think if he gets the right bodies in front of him, all those little minor things will just ease themselves away. He's a pro.
Thank you for the call.
All right.
WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Yeah, my name's Dwight. I had a question for Bud.
Yes, Dwight. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Bud, if you would kind of comment on the McCord case in regards to, the question really is, do you think that the league owners and the general managers and the barons of the league are more or less like boycotting the Wings to kind of like get even with them for this whole mess? I mean, you read different things, and you have to look at last year, too, the fact that Ted Lindsay had made all those great trades, and this year he hasn't been able to even pull one off. It just makes you wonder that maybe they're kind of boycotting them. I wonder if you could comment on that.
Well, I think the word boycott, I don't know whether that's the right word, but you're along that same trend of thought. Let's face it, every time a club improves, nobody wants to trade with you. And the Red Wings came out of the doldrums last year, and the fans got excited about it, and the building attendance shows it. And you're right. After a while, suddenly general manager Ted Lindsay has a nice call from a general manager when he calls him or returns the call, but nothing has developed.
Do you think they're snubbing him?
I beg your pardon?
Thanks, but
you're the snub.
Well, I think that you get back to, you talked about McCourt now, Dale McCourt's case. Dale McCourt is a Red Wing until we hear differently. And I think that it's an awful lot of pressure on a young boy, but he made his mind up. And sure, this has embarrassed some of the other people in the National Hockey League right from the head office down. We all know that.
Uh-huh.
But as for them ganging up or boycotting, no, I don't think that's the story. But nobody wants to trade with them. The late Jack Adams used to say the same thing when there were only six teams in the league. There were only six teams, and he had trouble dealing with probably just one, Chicago. That's where most of the players went in those days.
Right.
Now that we got a lot of teams in the league, in your own division, nobody wants to deal with you.
Coast League.
Oh, you don't remember those days, do you?
Well, I read about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, the Norris family did have an interest in the Chicago Blackhawks, part of Madison Square Garden, and another part of the family had the Detroit Red Wings. You're quite true. But that's way back, my boy.
Okay. Thank you for the call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air with Bud Lynch. Go ahead.
Ron?
Yes, he's right here.
I don't know if you remember announcing that fight between McCutcheon and Kelly in Philadelphia when McCutcheon beat up Kelly pretty bad. And
Bud was calling McCutcheon. I remember those days, yes.
When Bob Kelly was beat up by McCutcheon, and McCutcheon's still with the Red Wings in the minors, ain't he?
Yes, Brian. You're talking about Brian McCutcheon.
McCutcheon. He's only 5'10", ain't he?
Yes, he...
Kelly's a big boy, ain't he?
Well, he was a toughie,
yeah.
And...
What about Alvin White and Lenny Urquindia? You know about them guys, too, that were down there, they're real rough, and they played real good. Their scoring stats were high, but the Wings never give them a chance, it seemed like.
Well, you're talking about the boy that played for Kalamazoo, Urquindia. He gets into a bit. Yeah, he's at the training camp every year, and he has a shot to make it, but... Oh, some of those training camp scrimmages are pretty good, too. Too bad you can't get in to see those, because some of those boys live to tangle.
This guy can stick in on everything as can be. I'd watched him, and he's got a hard shot, and so does Alvin White. But I don't see Alvin White's name with him no more. You know what happened to him?
Alvin White didn't show up at the training camp at Kalamazoo and told everybody he was going to quit playing hockey.
I see.
And talking about Lenny, the defenseman up there, Urquindia, he makes his presence felt. He's only got 116 minutes in penalties, and they've only played 18 games.
Boy, does he really?
Yeah.
Do you remember that fight between McCutcheon and Kelly?
Oh, yes, but I remember a better one between Lou Fondinato of the New York Rangers and Gordie Howe.
One question for Ron. Earlier in the program, he was not on his call-in. He was talking about Toronto. He don't know about their philosophy with the rough players. Well, Greg Poulos, I read in a hockey paper, wants to go back to that kind of a hockey club, a rough club he had years ago.
Yes, yeah, so they've switched quite a bit. They were not a physical club a few years ago, and now they've gone just the extreme opposite.
Bobby Crum's philosophy and Ted Lindsay, if they differ or not, it seems like Bobby Crum is not more aggressive hockey than Ted Lindsay is. Does he know anything about that?
Well, I think You have to be able to take it like a man when you play in the National Hockey League, but I don't think all the penalty minutes are the answer to any hockey game. And the late Jack Adams just always warned Gordie Howe, you're more valuable on the ice. You can clean the clock of everybody in the league, but stay on the ice.
Thank you very much for the call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Good evening. My name is Alan.
Hello, Alan.
Bud, it is a privilege. Throughout the years in Detroit for the sportscasters, the hockey sportscasters have always been the really the. They know their profession. Not only do they announce fantastic, but expert commentary, not just that Sid Abel now, who was in hockey his whole life, but you, when you mentioned Hal Nagler, it brought back my youth listening to the hockey games. Bruce Martin, it's unbelievable how Detroit can keep up with great commentary from you sportscasters. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's a very flattering comment, and I think it...
any relation, Bud?
No, I'm sure Alec isn't no relation of mine. But it holds true that I think any person that has a chance to work a microphone as a play-by-play announcer or an analyst or a color commentator or whatever you want to call it, he has to do his homework. And one thing about the coverage of hockey, I've mentioned this to the young boys, are trying to get into the profession, too.
I think one of the main reasons that hockey was taken off the national networks is because of the commentary of the sportscasters. I don't think they really knew their hockey too well, nor did they present it well at all. I mean, if they had someone like you, even, it would have been fantastic.
Well, the nice thing, thanks for the comment, but Alec, you must remember that when they're selling it any product nationally, they've got to go to somebody out of the big city, the Big Apple, New York, or Chicago, or L.A. It's so it seems,
well,
anyway.
A big name around here, Bud.
But the, well, I was never offered the job anyway. But
okay.
You have the Hewitts, Foster in particular, the dean of all the broadcasters, and Danny Gallivan, and I can go back through the years.
Some other veterans.
They're also fantastic.
And,
they had on in that station, and
Dan Kelly.
No, Al Nagler in his day was one of the boys, an American-born boy, went to U of D and learned his broadcasting by the bootstraps, and he was one of the boys selling hockey around here.
I don't, you know, it was my youth in those days. His voice, I can remember it. It was just fantastic.
Well, thank you very much for the call and the compliments. I know Bud appreciated it. I thought they might be related.
You know the other part of that, Ron? The radio, in the early days of coverage of sports, stimulated the selling of a sport. And it created the imagination to the listener to listen to see what's going on.
Okay, it's 7:30 in Detroit.
This is Dr. Sonia Friedman. I'll be waiting for your calls, your problems, or your success stories right after the 1 o'clock news, WXYZ, Detroit.
We're talking with Bud Lynch, the PR director of the Pistons and the Red Wings. Boy, I got you with the Pistons again, Bud. Why do I want to say you're with the Pistons for? I can't understand that.
Brian Hitzke know this?
Well, he's not in the PR anymore with the Pistons. It's Bill Kreisel now.
They got a new title.
A new title, yes. Okay. 353-3030 is the number. We're talking with Bud Lynch. WXYZ Sports Talk. This is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Hi, Ron.
Hello.
This is Bill.
Hello, Bill.
Could I have a question with Bud?
Yes, you can.
Yes, sir. Hi, Bud.
Hi, Bill.
I remember when you first come on... broadcasting hockey.
You don't go that far back, do you, sir?
Huh? Oh, I can go back to Al Nagler. I can go back to the old Ottawa Silver Sevens. I can go back to the Dawson Eskimos, too.
Oh, boy.
I'm 76 years old.
Oh.
I've been following hockey ever since it was in existence.
You're very alert, 76, then.
So, one question I'd like to ask you, Bud, and I've been trying to find out for a long time. Could you tell me if Ted Lindsay's dad ever played goal for the Renfrew Millionaires?
You hit the nail right on the head. He did.
Back about 1912?
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure of the year, but he was a member of the famous Renfrew Millionaires.
They were only in the league a couple of years.
Right, and Ted's family came from northern Ontario.
Well, I understand Ted was born there.
Kirkland Lake he was born, and then some of the family lived around Sarnia for years, and most of them are from northern Ontario, though. But
yeah.
You're right, Teddy's dad. He's in the Hall of Fame, too, by the way.
Yeah, he is. And you, I understand you got your book there. Another guy from my hometown was one of the known years ago as the King of the Poke Check. Do you remember who that was? That may be before your time.
Well, I haven't got a book that looks up the names, Bill, but...
Frank Nyber was the name.
Oh, Nyber came... Well, I can tell you a little bit about Frank Nyber. He played hockey, ended up in Hamilton and Trey, went to... Was it New York Americans?
No. He went, he comes from the West Coast, and he ended up with the Ottawa Senators.
Ottawa Senators, that's where King Clancy started his career.
I know, but so did, Niner didn't start there. He started out in the West Coast.
Right.
And then he came back to the East and played for the Ottawa Senators till the end of his career.
Okay, I thought it was part of the old Lester Patrick clan that traveled coast to coast.
Thank you for the call. We're talking with Bud Lynch. 353-3030 is the number. WXYZ Sports Talk. This is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Yeah, how you doing, Ron?
Good.
I'd like to ask Bud one thing. I was wondering what the funniest mistake you ever made on the air was.
How long have you had this show, Ron?
I was kind of wondering, you know, if the...
We've all had bloopers. We've all had times we like to pinch our tongue and everything else. But I guess when you cover a game and you get into the excitement of the game, you just keep talking and hope that you didn't say anything that would be offensive or taken the wrong way.
Or defensive.
Is there anyone in particular you might remember?
Oh, several, but are you referring to fond memories or exciting moments or troublesome situations?
Just like an exciting moment or something. I just wondered if there was anything.
I can remember some back when Pittsburgh had that line of Shock, Shack, and Chico. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. You from back then.
Number 7, 19, and 12 around the ice. Well, it was the St. Patrick's Day back in Montreal, the Montreal Forum. One of the few games was ever forfeited. Rocket Richard had his knuckles wrapped by then-President Clarence Campbell. And after the first period, some of the fans got into the stands after Clarence Campbell. And finally, the Red Wing dressing room was locked, and Jack Adams had a note slipped under it. And it just said, from Frank Selke, the general manager of the Canadiens, this game has been forfeited. And as a result, we all had to get out the back door and get on a bus and get to the Westmount Railway Depot and get back. And they did have a riot on the streets of Montreal that night. The fans got so up because Clarence Campbell had wrapped the knuckles just before the playoffs of Maurice the Rocket Richard. It was not an interesting situation to recall, but it was one of those moments in the coverage of a sport. No one really got hurt, but there was an awful lot of damage on St. Catherine Street in Montreal.
Thank you very much for the call. $794, that's what we have in our WXYZ cash call jackpot. 794, we'll make a call in just a few minutes. Stay listening, we could be calling you. We're talking with Bud Lynch. 353-3030 is the number if you have a question, or the Red Wings publicity director, public relations director. I'll get it right. You know, I can't get them all right. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Oh, Ron, geez, I went to honor you on your show. I just listen to it every night. I think it's the greatest thing.
Well, thank you.
Kind of reminds me of the guy in Cleveland, you know.
Yes.
Good sports show over there. But listen, what I wanted to ask Bud was, I used to have season tickets to the Wings years ago, back in the early 60s, late 50s, and I kind of quit going because I didn't like the brand of hockey, but it seemed like the boys are coming back a little bit now. But I want to ask them about the defenses that they used to play back then. I used to love to watch those guys play some defense, like Bob Goldham and a few other guys, and fly and hit that puck. I mean, what makes the game so much more wide open today, and why is the defense aren't as good?
That's a good point about block shots. You don't have the shot blockers back in the Gadsby, Goldham days and guys like that. They don't seem to be around that much anymore. But do you think it's a lost art?
Well, Tommy Bergman will do it occasionally. But don't forget the speed that some of these boys fire that puck today. You're not going to block too many of those shots. You're going to be sidelined for a while. But the style of hockey has changed drastically, and I think a lot of it has to do with where the players come from when they come to the National Hockey League. When you had your own farm system, and we had Edmonton and Hamilton in those days.
The juniors you're talking
juniors,
about.
Juniors. And they were parent sponsored. In other words, the major clubs sponsored those clubs. It was a boy that was down there playing defense, he tried to imitate a Goldham or a Jack Stewart, a Leo Reese or a Quackenbush way back in the 50s. So when he had a chance to come up here, he knew the role he had to play because he had a chance to watch the style of hockey. Now you've got tremendous speed. They're a better conditioned athlete, it seems. And everyone wants to be like the quarterback in football. He wants to be the goal scorer in the minor leagues. What's 50 or 60 goals in the minor league? They score 80 goals, those kids, when they come up. But they don't have to keep their head up too much in the minor hockey. But when they come to become a pro, their speed going both ways, and the defensemen are just a little tougher.
Which has changed because of Bobby Orr, no doubt.
Well, Bobby Orr was a portion of an era. And Bobby Orr was a puck control artist. Everybody talks about it. But there was Doug Harvey was pretty good years ago in Montreal. And every club seemed to have one that could control the puck and lead the play and let the forwards. As Sid Abel often comments on the great production line, as he started to dwindle in his years, He would get as far as the opponent's blue line, shoot it in the corner, and yell to Teddy and Gordy, go and get it. And then he'd get out and park in front of that and hope to get a pass out.
Thank you very much for the call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Bud, was there a reason, a specific reason why Bill Gadsby got the axe after they were won their first two games of the year? In that season, you were announcing then, weren't you?
I sure was announcing, and we had quite a thrill having a victory in the Chicago Stadium, and everyone was so excited. I, on my own, decided to take three or four of the boys, including Coach Bill Gadsby, out for dinner that night in Chicago, and then the next morning we found out that Bill Gadsby hasn't been relieved of his coaching.
Well, what was the reason for that?
I cannot tell you, and Bill Gadsby, and all due credit to this day, has never commented one way or the other.
I'll tell you, how about at the end of the program giving us a rendition of the production line power play for about a minute there?
Okay.
I saw Olympia last year before the playoffs. Love to hear it again at the end of the program.
Okay, we'll see what we can do. Think up a good one. Now let's make a cash call. Hello, is this David Sluzak of Detroit? Hello, David. This is Ron Cameron of WXYZ Radio calling.
Yeah?
If you can tell me what we have in our WXYZ cash call jackpot, we'll write you out a check for that amount.
Oh, wow. About $750.
Boy, we get some real closies tonight. $794.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was close.
You were close. Well, listen, tune us in. You could win sometime. We could call you back.
All right, thank
you. 1270. Okay. If you're a sports fan, tune in right now. We got the old announcer from the Red Wings, Bud Lynch, here.
Old?
Well, old. O-L-E. The old. O-L-E.
Thank you.
Okay. Tomorrow morning after 9 a.m., $809 will be in our WXYZ cash call jackpot. We could be calling you. We're talking with Bud Lynch of the Red Wings. 353-3030 is the number. And WXYZ time is now 8:41. Or 7:41. I can't even tell time, Bud. 353-3030 is the number. We're talking hockey with the PR director of the Red Wings, Bud Lynch. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Hi, Ron. This is Mike. How's it going?
Pretty good, Mike.
All right, I got a question for Bud Lynch.
Go ahead, Mike.
All right, Bud, what do you think about Brody's shot and the money he's getting? Do you think he deserves it? Or he's not coming up with good saves in it?
Well, I think when you look at what the athletes are getting today, more power to them if they can get it, but the leveling off stage is almost here. And in Rogie Vachon's case, he's in our organization now, and I'm sure that in due time, the dollar sign should not be considered all the time, and most of your athletes do not take an attitude that somebody's making a whole lot more than they are. They are all part of a team, period.
Okay, thank you for the call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Yeah, Bud, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Now this Hextall thing from these newspaper accounts, and you got to believe that these reporters are at least somewhat accountable for what they print. It appears that this, especially with Hextall, that there was more to it than just his playing ability. And I can understand if he was maybe what you would call maybe disruptive to the team, why Lindsay and Cron may want to get rid of him. The only thing that I couldn't understand is why. Why couldn't they have, instead of just coming out and saying they're going to get rid of him, sort of disguised him and let him practice and spot him so these other teams don't know the Wings are just trying to, you know, get rid of him so quickly?
Well, if you notice, sir, I had it on the program a couple days before it happened saying that that's what's going to happen, and Ted does not duck questions. And he was asked, I believe the next night at a booster club meeting, was it indeed the fact that the Red Wings were trying to get rid of Hextall and Harper, and he came out and said yes. And I had it on him through a good source a couple of days before to really get the ball rolling on it. Maybe that did get it rolling.
Ron, my first reaction was, these other things aside, was that if he had lost his legs, and I know it's pretty hard to convert a center to a defenseman, but Hextall appeared to have the right sort of disposition for being a defenseman in the respect through the league.
He wasn't a defenseman.
And you just can't turn a guy into a defenseman overnight. My first reaction was, well, I'll put him back there on defense. They tried to do that to Gordy one time, but I guess that's just too hard to do in the middle of a season.
One thing about Dennis Hextall, and this is one of the privileges, I guess, as a broadcaster and being associated with athletes in all the sports, but hockey more so, you come to respect what they do. Dennis Hextall, at his age mark, is perhaps one of the finest conditioned athletes in the National Hockey League. He was always in the best of shape when training camp showed up, and he gave his all, and I think Bobby Crum and Ted Lindsay have echoed that very thing. There's no doubt about the Red Wings couldn't get things going for a while there. They had the talent they thought they had, and now that they've decided that they've got the youth coming from the farm club, they're going to have to take a look at the youth, and perhaps it was just the timing. But to let a player continue to play and not know that he was being on the trading block, that was something that's happened to too many other athletes. It's a tickly situation, honestly.
Okay, thank you for the call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Hi, I'm Pauls.
Hello, Pauls.
Hello. There are a few stigmas that follow a team around in the NHL, maybe a little bit more than any other sport, like goal scoring in the Montreal Canadiens or knee injuries in the Boston Bruins. How do the Red Wings feel about these tainted goals that seem to be going against them just about every call so far this season?
Well, not every call, but certainly been three games of recent weeks that...
Colorado, Vancouver, Boston.
Right, and it's one of those things, I guess, you run the string and you just hope that it'll work to the other team's disadvantage. But when things are going wrong, some fellas even have trouble getting out of the penalty box the other night. Dollars to around try to get out.
Not Dollars to around. Andre Severon.
I'm really going back there now. That's his uncle.
Yes, it is.
Andre. Andre is trying to get out, and his glove got caught in the door. The door closed, and he was held up for about 10 seconds anyway.
That was good. Thank you very much for the call, sir. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron, but let me first give the weather outlook. Cloudy and windy tonight with a slight chance of light rain or snow towards morning. The overnight low 27. Cloudy, windy, and a little colder tomorrow night with scattered flurries and a high in the mid-30s. Scattered snow flurries continuing tomorrow night, then a cloudy, partly cloudy, and cold on Thursday. Right now it's cloudy and 27 degrees in Detroit as we're talking hockey with Bud Lynch. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron, Bud Lynch.
Yeah, hi, Ron.
Hello.
This is Larry from the Forum Club.
Hello, Larry from the Forum Club.
How you doing, bud?
Very fine party the other night. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you. I was at the game in Chicago Sunday night, and the question that I have is, the fight that went on in the stands was one of the worst examples I've ever seen of fans in a different rink. I know they get a little bit wild at Olympia, but I was wondering if, is there any rule in the NHL, since you have your rule book, that would provide for a penalty for a team, say if something like that continued and they couldn't carry the game on, because that involved a whole section of people there.
Without even looking the rule book, the National Hockey League has a situation which I think holds true. It might hold true in other sports, for all I know. The referee is in complete charge of that game. And once the game starts, the referee, if there's a disturbance in the stands, can stop the action, go over and get the attendant police or security people to remove the fans from a given area, particularly back to the visitor's bench, as in some cities they have a little rumpus once in a while. I was not at the game in Chicago, and the Andy Frame ushers have been there in the Chicago Stadium for many, many years.
Yes, they have.
And I'm sure that there was an eyesore over there, and the Chicago Stadium had a problem to cope with. But the referee, I don't think, would have stopped a game because of an incident like that. But he has.
Because it didn't have anything to do with the game.
They weren't throwing debris at the players. They weren't getting close to the players. It was just one section. It's a shame when you have, say, 14,000 people there and four boys or four young men or sometimes ladies, too, you know. Yeah. They get a little irate.
I think they were throwing debris on the ice, and they were trying to remove these people, and I guess they didn't feel that it was time for them to leave yet.
No, they had maybe been under the influence a little bit. They looked like they were feeling their oats pretty good.
But the referee does have jurisdiction, and it's happened many times in the coverage of the sport. I know that.
Thank you for the call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
This is John.
Hi, John.
Bud mentioned a few minutes ago about the fight between Gordie Howe and Fortunato.
Fortunato.
Will you tell us about it again?
Well, it was at the old Madison Square Garden, and Lou Fondinato was designated as the policeman for the famed New York Rangers at the time, and he was leveling everybody. And apparently Lou objected to the way Gordie Howe had sort of sideswiped one of the Ranger players, so Lou was going to be the policeman and take on Gordie Howe. And Lou was like a bull in the china shop. He dropped one glove at his own blue line, the stick at center ice, the other glove at the next blue line, and headed right for Howe. And Gord Howe had his left skate caught in the twine of the net at the side of the goal. And the referee saw what was happening and moved the players away, and Lou came in with his head down. That was the first mistake. And Gordie Howe couldn't get his skate clear of the netting, so he uppercutted Lou the first time. Then Lou kept flailing away, and The players stood around and watched it. I thought I was Don Dumphy that night. It was one of the better fights, but it wasn't at center ice. It was away down behind the net.
You must have had fun with that one, Bud.
Well, it was one of those things. Lou Fontanato's career literally ended that night. Life magazine took a picture of Lou. They didn't take him to the hospital until long after the fans had left the building, and the hospital just across the street from the old Madison Square Garden. And Gordy's only trouble, he and Lou are good friends, by the way, later on, but his one comment, he said, Lou, why did you open your mouth? Because the only sore part of my body is my knuckle. It hit your tooth when your mouth was open.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Yes, Ray?
Yes, Ray.
I was wondering, as Bud Lynch, whatever happened to become, I was reading in the paper last year about making the National Hockey League teams have more American players on the team. You know, I was thinking maybe that would have something to do why they can't get over on national TV. Because in football and basketball, you can follow the players through college and that. And now you're getting all these European players, and you got all Canadians that control the American teams. You just don't have the Americans in there, and you can't follow them.
Well, I disagree. In the last 10 years, there are more and more American boys playing in the National Hockey League and in minor pro hockey than ever. Most of your major colleges have hockey scholarships, and there's fine hockey programs in most of your American cities north of the Mason-Dixon line. And as a result, the young boy in high school that has a liking for hockey, if he hits those books and keeps his grades up, he's going to get those hockey scholarships. There are American boys on every team in the National Hockey League, believe me.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron and Bud Lynch.
Yes, I'd like to know if Bud Lynch would comment on what I have to say here, please. I'm Ted.
Okay, Ted.
And I think the press has been pretty hard on our rebuilding program. And you don't rebuild with a 35-year-old guy taking faceoffs. You teach a young man how to take them. And you don't rebuild with a 39-year-old defenseman who should have retired last year, although he did have a good year.
A good year? How about a great year? Statistics do lie, but don't you agree that he played last year for a club that gave up more goals than they scored? Those stats don't lie. It's right there in front of you. And the fact is he had a great year plus-minus-wise.
Hey, the Canadians gave up on him a long time ago.
So what?
So if they ain't good enough for them, why should he be good enough for us?
Don't forget the acquisition of a Harper and Hextall in the Red Wing organization certainly paid off late last year when many young boys came up with no real major league experience and were playing alongside of the Harpers and the Hextalls. And as a result, the way the club got turned around under Ted Lindsay and Bobby Crum was indicative. Now, you've got a fan audience today, and I've used this comment many times. When the New England Whalers played at Olympia, a preseason game against the Red Wings, and the building was packed to see Gordie Howe, of 15,000 people in there that night, I doubt if any more than 5,000 ever saw Gordie Howe play in a Red Wing uniform. But there's a new fan interest. You want to look at the young people. You want to be associated with the Reed Larsons and
the Dale McCourt. Okay, thank you for the call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron.
Hello.
With Bud Lynch.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Yes, I'd like to ask Bud a question.
Sure.
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, okay. For the good of hockey, should the NHL merge with the WHA, or should teams such as Colorado or Pittsburgh move to, say, the Meadowlands, where they're building a new arena?
Well, the old story for the good of hockey's going to be here, believe me. And, Matt, right now I think that the discussions that have been going on the higher echelon of the National Hockey League, I believe Ron had some comments from President John Ziegler, and it augurs well that something is bound to happen sometime soon because some cities cannot keep absorbing the losses and pay the salaries that they have to pay to keep a professional franchise going. And cities like Winnipeg and Edmonton and New England and Cincinnati and Quebec are the five key cities where they have a healthy WHA, apparently, and I think it's indicative that sometime in the almost immediate future, key franchise cities in both leagues will survive. Others will falter.
Okay, thank you for the call. If you need tires and if you're a cost-conscious consumer, at Wayne Tire prices you can afford, join the move to Micklin right now. In tires, it's not the price you pay, but how often you pay it that counts. And Michelin X radials are priced right, plus they deliver up to twice the mileage of bias ply tires. That's Wayne Tire with 7 convenient Detroit area locations to serve you. Wayne Tire says, think Michelin first. WXYZ, time is coming up to 5 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. We're talking with Bud Lynch of the Red Wings as David Newman is walking in the studio talking about his show tonight. Yes, it's you.
Well, in the first hour, we have Father Vaughn Quinn of the Sacred Hearts Rehabilitation Center, who is an expert on alcoholism. Do you know him?
Pretty good goalkeeper, too, you know.
Yes, he's a fine hockey player, and he showed a lot of promise in Canada where he was raised.
But he's appeared touring with the, I don't call him Flying Priest anymore, but...
That's right, yes, exactly.
Well, that'll be fun.
Rather an interesting character. Maybe you'll see him on your way out.
He did an awful lot on Ted Lindsay's behalf when Derek Sanderson was trying to be rehabilitated, by the way.
Ah, yes. Very interesting.
Okay, well, thank you, David. David Newman, 8 to 11, Monday through Saturday. We're talking with Bud Lynch now. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Hi, Ron, this is Rich.
Hello, Rich.
Yeah, Bud, a question.
Sure.
Bud, in the 50s, when they teams used to keep only one goaltender, I know Lefty Wilson had to fill in for injured goaltender several times. Was there ever a goal scored on him?
Oh, yes.
Yes, but Lefty Wilson, the senior trainer in the National Hockey League, talks with pride of the fact that Gordie Howe broke in when he was tending goal for the Boston Bruins, I believe, or the Maple Leafs that night. Boston, I guess it was. And Gordie Howe broke right in on Lefty, and Lefty says, I'll eat it before you score. And he beat Gordie Howe in a close-in shot.
I was wondering, because I thought I saw him go one goal scored on him when he used to have the last period at 11 o'clock on Channel 7 in the early 50s. On TV.
Bud was around there.
Well, we used to come out here and play the replays back. I'd do the voiceover on them. Oh, I'm sure Lefty would be the first to admit that the back of his head got burned a few times by that red goalie light.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Yeah, I want to speak to Bud, please.
You got him.
Okay, my name is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Bud, I want to ask you, Gordie Howe, I believe, in my opinion, was about the oldest hockey player to win the scoring championship. I think he was about 35 or 36. Back around, was it 64, 63 in that area? That's when it was a 16 league against Bobby Hall, Mattia Esposito, I believe, was playing then. Can you tell me, was he the oldest player to win it in the NHL?
It's a sticker question. I think he was, but... the records that were kept by Ron Anders of the National Hockey League really started in the late 30s. I mean, the league kept them. And from 50 through the 70s, and that was the Gord Howe era and the Rocket Richard era and the goal-scoring era. Now, somebody might have had more goals because Gordie Howe never got that 50-goal season. He had it in Boston one night, but the goal was disallowed.
Total points.
And he had another year that was given to somebody else.
Red Kelly.
And it was a good call, from what I understand by the score. Thank you for the call. WXYZ Sports Talk, this is Ron Cameron with Bud Lynch.
Hi, Ron, this is Jim. I like to talk to Bud.
You got him.
Yeah, good. Bud?
Yes, Jim.
What do you think about Gordie Howe playing hockey and he's over 50 years old? Do you think he's a little old, a little slow?
I've watched Gordie through his whole career in the National Hockey League, perhaps more so than any other broadcaster or writer. All I can say, the few times I've seen him play in that WHA uniform, I don't think he wants to go home at night. He just likes hockey.
Okay, thank you. Bud, we're out of time, but we got just enough time for you to do that production line, play-by-play. Here we go. Here's the voice of the Red Wings, Bud Lynch.
13 seconds left in the game. The game is tied 3-3 in the faceoff just inside the Detroit blue line. Frankie Drury, the referee, about to drop the puck. And the Canadians have got Jeffrey on Rich, Dickie Moore out there, along with the great Rocket Richard, Abel Lindsay, and Hauer on the ice. And the puck is dropped, and Butch Bouchard fumbles, and it goes over to Abel. Abel feeds Lindsay. Over to Howe. Howe shoots. He scores. The Wings win it 4-3.
Hey, that's a buzzer. Way to go. That was great, Bud Lynch. You're out of breath now, I see, Bud.
No.
Oh, you're still hanging with us. Thank you, Bud, for coming on. You've got to come back on in a few weeks. We never had an open line for more than 10 seconds tonight.
Congratulations on you and your show. You're stimulating a lot of interest in the town for all sports, all the coaches, and all the players. I'm sure they all appreciate it.
Okay, Bud, we're going to get you back on about another month. You got to come back on. The response to Bud Lynch was just great, as usual.